And it all ties in, hopefully. So back in 19, this is going to go back, going to kind of maybe date my age. So I was heading into my junior year of college, and I finally decided to take my dune buggy down to Florida. So it was August 1975. And yeah, pretty old. You know, but I'll say this much. I survived a stroke. Praise God. Yeah. God is good. And all the time. Amen. I thank him so much for that. But so I'm traveling down I-95 in this dune buggy, and I had a very rare engine in this thing. I didn't realize how rare this Volkswagen four-cylinder engine was. It was probably about 36 horsepower. It was one of the oldest Volkswagen engines at the time, and I bought a bug and took the engine out and put it in my Volkswagen, and I had a really souped up one with a big cam in it, and I blew that out running out the cops. So there's a saying that you shouldn't outrun cops because things do happen, and they're not always good. I was going through a graveyard and blew it up, big old hole in the crank, and So back to the story. Oh, man, too many stories here. So I'm going down I-95, and I'm just right on the outskirts of D.C., Washington, D.C. I mean, this place is six lanes. I think it was 495, and I'm going around D.C. We used to go right through D.C., right by the White House, and it was a real mess back in 72, 73, but they really cleaned it up. So I'm buzzing along, and all of a sudden I hear this clack, 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 clack. And I look, and there's an exit. So I turn off on this exit. And of all things, I mean, this is how good God is. Of all things, there was a Volkswagen dealership as I pulled off that exit, and I coasted right into the dealership. It was fantastic. I'm like, God, thank you so much. I mean, you talk about, that is not a coincidence. That is God's, I mean, his divine appointment. You know, at our disappointments, the things that we get disappointed in, that's his appointment. That's his time for us. So I pulled into this VW dealership and get out. And I'm like, man, I looked it over. I'm thinking, oh, this is a mess, you know. College student, I don't have a whole lot of bucks. I mean, I worked all summer long as a youth director at a church. And I'm like, oh, Lord, okay, so this is yours. And I walk inside the facility there, really plush Volkswagen dealership. I mean, they weren't really like that at that time, but this is really nice because it was probably DC. And so I started explaining to the service manager what was going on. And there was this older couple that was listening to the story, you know, and I was telling the guy, well, I'm heading down to college, studying the Word of God and so forth. And the guy's looking at me, yeah. In a Volkswagen dune buggy, right? What kind of worldly guy are you? And this couple, they just kept listening. And he says, you know what? Let's look at that engine you got in there. So he looks at this engine, and he goes, you know what? This is one of the rarest Volkswagen engines around, and I have a Volkswagen bug that I want to put this engine in because it fits the year and the model. I'm like, what? This is nuts. Yeah, I'm thinking ahead. Okay, so what's the deal? He said, I'll tell you what. I have a Volkswagen engine in the back, runs really good. I'll trade you for this engine so I can have this for that year model. I'm like, hey, that's a good deal. I'll take it. And he said, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be here for probably a day and a half. I'm like, oh, really? Well, so this older couple sitting there listening to me. I said, well, let's do it. And he departs. They pull the Volkswagen around the back. This older couple comes up. And they go, oh, we just heard your story. You're studying the Bible? I go, yeah, down at Florida Bible College. And so they says, you know what? We want to put you up in a hotel. I'm like, Really? I said, it might be a day or two. No, we want to do that. I was like, man, God, you are awesome doing this for me. I mean, folks, that doesn't normally happen, you know. But God is good, and he's good all the time. And so, you know, I stayed there overnight. By the afternoon, they had that buggy going. And this couple said, listen, we want to get your address and so forth. We want to keep in touch with you. I said, oh, that's fine. You know, that's great. I appreciate it. And I want yours so I can, you know, send them a thank you card. Well, this is an amazing thing. It's amazing because they started sending me a booklet called Town and Courier. And in that booklet, it was like a bi-monthly thing that they sent. And they were just, they had all this weird stuff in there. I mean, really weird. I mean, it was foreign to me. I mean, I believed in, you know, things that were going on with Vietnam and so forth. My uncle went over there. He was in the CBs, and his son was over there with him. And I heard stories about why we were really over in Vietnam. It wasn't just to fight the communists, however that was a part of it, but it was also so for the minerals. So in this town and country, they started explaining some of the deep state stuff that was going on, you know, like Rockefeller being a part of all this, and the UN, you know, controlling and wanting to control the world, and I'm thinking, man, this is really far out stuff. Well, as time went on, I started seeing some of these things that they were talking about. Henry Kissinger, you know how old Henry Kissinger is? That guy is still around. He's like in his 90s, and when he talks, he croaks, you know? But that guy is a kingpin. He is behind a lot of the stuff that has been going on. They were talking about Henry Kissinger. So in 1976, see, I'm from Philadelphia area, north of Philly, about 40 miles. In 1976, they had a summit there at Independence Hall. And it was a really big dig. It was a really big dig for these people. You know, there was politicians there, the UN, all of them. And it was about the Declaration of Interdependence. Does anybody remember that? That shows how old I am. 1976, the Declaration of Interdependence. Not dependence, but interdependence. That is a statement that they were making, that we as United States will be interdependent upon the global system. Of course, they didn't use that word. They used one world government, and that we are going to be interdependent on it. You know, I'm like, you know, I read this before. Well, then I went to a rally. It would have been in the early 80s, and it was when Ronald Reagan was running. And I had gotten this newspaper kind of deal. It was about this big, and it had Reagan on the front. Actually, I still have it. I was going to bring it, but being an old man like I am, I forgot all about it. That stroke has affected some areas of my brain. It's pretty good, I think. But in there, they had this tree of the Council of Foreign Relations. And I've heard this name before through that Town and Courier. And like this whole puzzle was starting to come together, that there is something that's deep down under going on within our country. And I didn't want to believe it, but as I read and looked through this whole tree, you would see Henry Kissinger, you see a lot of these politicians and how they all fit into it. And I'm like, God, there is really something here. So I want to leave you with that. So I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And that's pretty small writing up there. But I'm going to read this to you. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I've forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his designs. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest, because I did not find my brother there, Titus. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing, to the one a fragrance from death to death, and to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? So we see there that, you know, Satan has a way of being bringing about obstacles in our life, but Christ is always triumph throughout those obstacles. And I'd like to go also have you turn to Luke, verse 16 and 15. I want to read that. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So, you know, throughout time in my life, you know, I was seeing these different patterns going on within our culture. And it is very confusing if you don't know what's behind it. And so I would like us to turn now to John 8, verse 39 through 47. They answered him, "Abraham, he's our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father," they said to him. "We were not born of sexual immorality." They go, "Hey, we have one father, even God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my words. You are of the father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear this," he said to them, "is that you are not from God." So I'm setting right now the foundation for what I'm going to go into. I'm going to read this text out of Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. And you know what? This is a text that many times when I read it, I always looked at myself. I always looked at me. Well, about a month ago when I read it, I was like, you know, "I don't know if I should do this, Lord. This is wild. Why should I be applying this to what I see going on?" But it says this. It says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and for not..." Oh, excuse me. Way ahead of myself there. Verse 16, it says, "There are six things that the Lord hates." I got to go back. Okay, this Bible is not my Bible. And it's highlighted right there on verse 20. And so I went right to verse 20. And if I say anything that's, you know, heretical, Roger, blame him. All right, back to verse 16. I love you, Roger. I shouldn't have said that. No, I should have said that, yeah. "There are six things that the Lord hates." That's why I said six, no seven. "There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, and feet that make haste to run to evil. a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. You know, we've all experienced this in our own personal life. But as I was reading this, I had different people in this world that came to my mind, different events that happened. And so I'm going to share some of those visual images that came to me when I was reading this portion of Scripture. So the portion on haughty eyes. The eyes are the gateway. And this is something Pastor kind of talked about. The eyes are a gateway to our soul, to our heart, to who we are. So I'd like you to turn to Matthew 6, 22 through 23. And this is what Jesus said. The eye is a lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then the light in you is darkness. How great is that darkness? I'm just going to say this right here. We have people that are involved in our country that are wanting to change the culture. And that is because of what they put in their brain, what they think. You know, Pastor often says that thinking is hard to do. But when you have force-fed information given to you over and over and over and over again, and then you have people behind that that propagate what they see to be true, but really, in their mind, it's all relative, and there's no truth, so therefore, they're going to spew out what they think is, quote, true to them. So, Michael Heiser, in his book, The Unseen Realm and Supernatural, he goes through this whole aspect, and we're going to be covering that. Pastor, on Wednesday night, he's going to be going through those two books and probably much more that he's kind of read over the years. But he talks about an enemy that is out there that's unseen. And as I read earlier, there out of Corinthians, there's this unseen person who's the father of lies, who's behind everything that's going on. And he has his key players that are developing and doing all these things that we're starting to see happening. You know, I wanted to deny this stuff for the longest time, and I really didn't want to talk about this at all. I'd like to go in the second area, lying tongue. So we have this dark way of looking at life, this darkness that's taking place within our culture and our society. And the second one is a lying tongue. Deception, which can set the world on fire, produce chaos to introduce new order. So I looked at James 3, 1 through 18, and we're not gonna go into that. Everybody knows it talks about the tongue and the rudder and that it can set the world on fire. It misdirects, it misinforms, and it causes horrible things. So let's go to the next slide there. So we have here this is an interesting name, Jen Psaki. She's always drunk. Jen Psaki? Come on. That's her name. Yeah. A lying tongue, deception, which can set the world on fire, produces chaos to introduce a new world order. How many times have you seen her face? I mean, I've never seen a press woman or man for the White House lie after lie after lie, covering up for this president. I don't even want to say that word. The man was put in there under false pretenses. And that's a lie in itself. That's a deception. And she has covered for him over and over again. And I'm not going to go through all the different things that she's covered for him. I mean, recently, you know, it's the whole Afghan thing. I mean, come on, get real. They left thousands of Americans behind. And we are sending, we have special forces that are retired, and some of them are senators, that are going over there in Afghanistan because they know it real well, and they're bringing home our people. And she had the nerve, and Biden had the nerve to say that the mission was successful. That's a lie. And Obama, remember Joe the plumber? Yeah, Joe the plumber said right to him. He said right to Obama, he said, listen, this sounds like communism. This sounds like socialism. Sounds like you want to give everything away. And, you know, how many Americans, really, we Americans voted for Obama, and he had 8 years in office in the midst of a fiasco, Benghazi. Look at the lies that they spewed out about that. Susan Rice got on TV and says, oh, no, that all came about from this Islamic cartoon that the people got really upset over. I'll tell you what, I was in India when that all happened. And it really was like all over. People were getting upset. And in India, in the towns that I was in, 40% of that population is Muslim. And those people in India, they're not like us in America. They take to the streets over some of the silliest things. And they had to lock up our facility that we were at. We couldn't travel anywhere. We were locked up, gates down, in our motel. And in my motel, there were monkeys roaming around, lizards crawling on the wall. It's not the place I wanted to be. So let's move on to the next slide here. So we covered the line, Tom. Hands that kill the innocent. Now we have a couple here in church that have stood up and, you know, right in front of Planned Parenthood, their names, against the unborn being slaughtered. And we have a video that I want to share with you all that I've come across that I'd like Stacy, if you could run that.
The word genocide was coined in 1944 by Raphael Lemkin. It is the first word in the English language to denote something that's been around for all of history. In France, it was known as populacide, and in Germany, as folk murdering. Genocide is the age-old action of wiping out large groups of the local population. Whether it be for economic reasons or non-compliance, genocide is always motivated by political power. The 10 stages of genocide is a model of the genocidal process. We can use this model to clearly demonstrate the level of genocide many of us are facing today. Stage 1, classification. All cultures have categories to distinguish people into us and them, whether it be ethnicity, race, religion, or nationality. Classification is seen everywhere. It seems to be an innate mechanism of the mind, and America has a great way of keeping this mechanism in check. E pluribus unum, which is why America is such an obvious target of the emerging globalist society, and why we have been divided into two succinct groups: patriots loyal to defending the U.S. Constitution and everyone else. Stage 2, symbolization. Words such as Republican, Libertarian, and Oath Keepers have now been redefined to mean racist, domestic terrorists, and extremist. Symbolization makes the work of dividing the people much more efficient, and once divided, allows the compliant group to participate in the genocide against the patriots. Stage 3, discrimination. The dominant group uses law, custom, and political power to deny the rights of the targeted group. Private multinational corporations have monopolized all social discourse on the internet and have been blatantly discriminating against patriot voices for years. We are also beginning to see signs of the coming discrimination against the so-called unvaccinated, who will soon be turned away for not having the official symbol on their mobile device, proving they are a member of the accepted group. Stage 4, dehumanization. The compliant group is conditioned to deny the humanity of the group being marked for extermination. They are made to believe that patriotic Americans are ignorant, evil, and inherently racist, and that they would all be better off without them. Dehumanization overcomes the normal human aversion to murder. Stage 5, organization. Genocide is always organized, usually by the state, and the emerging globalist society we are seeing today is highly organized. They control all of pop culture, the media, and big pharma. They are most likely the most organized tyranny in all of human history. Stage 6, polarization. With the previous 5 stages in effect, the people are now ripe for complete polarization. Moderates are intimidated into silence, and it becomes accepted that the targeted group must go. The dominant group passes emergency laws granting them power over the targeted group, such as the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. Now that the people have been conditioned to accept that patriotic Americans are now domestic terrorists, the stage is set for genocide. This is where we definitely are today. Stage 7 is preparation, when plans are made for the relocation, arrest, or extermination of the targeted group, which is most likely already happening. Stage 8 is persecution, when the targeted group begins getting arrested and separated from society. There are already hundreds of innocent patriotic Americans imprisoned indefinitely for protesting the stolen election of 2020. Stage 9 is extermination, when the mass killing begins. And stage 10 is denial. Denial is the glue that makes all of this possible. It is what has gotten us this far along this dark path so far. And it is the only thing that will carry it through to the end. There is no government or United Nations coming to save American patriots from this genocide. It will be up to the people alone to defeat this emerging global dystopia. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Well, that's done by Greg Reese. You can find him on band.video. I've found most of his videos supreme, really well done. I think the video aspect was a lot slower than the vocals, if you haven't noticed that. Yeah. So, you know, that's depressing, isn't it? It really is. To see that, can you not deny that that's going on today? I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, Bob Dylan, when I was putting this together, I was listening to some of Bob Dylan's stuff. You know, the guy was, he was a counter-revolutionist. And his Subterranean Blues, he said, you don't need a weatherman to tell you which way the wind is blowing. Right. I mean, can you not see the way in which the wind's blowing across America right now? God, we just need your help. We really do. Hearts that plot evil. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23. Let's go to the next slide. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, it's evil, it's wicked, and it's sinful. So there we go. George Soros. You know, sometimes it's just good to see an image of these names. And this guy has his hands in everything that's going on. Not only here in America. I mean, he's been booted out of many countries in Europe because they've seen the harm that that guy has done. And just recently, he donated. And see, what he does is he uses these organizations that are, like here in America, they're from Americans that are a part of his little group. And he funds those groups to fund different other organizations to counteract a lot of things what the conservatives are trying to do. So like right now in California, he's now put in $1 million towards Newsom. And the media stuff about Larry Elders, have you seen that? I mean, we're talking about a fantastic radio host, fellow black American. He loves truth. What do they say? They say about, oh, he's just a black man who's representing white supremacy. You know, it's like, I almost have to take my brain out and say, well, am I living in the same world? This is inverted. You know why they don't like Elders? Because that guy's going to speak the truth and he's going to turn California around. And they can't handle that. And then there will be a lot of things that are going to be uncovered about Newsom. You talk about a wicked man, Newsom's, there's wickedness there. Non-governmental organizations, NGOs, he sponsors. We all heard Klaus Schwab. Nothing will ever return to normal. The Great Reset. He says, you know, and we've heard pastors say this. Yeah, you're going to own nothing but be happy. Get real, dude. You come to my place and take my property with me and put me into some housing development, I ain't going to be happy. And you'll find out real quick. No. This, for those of us that have been around for some time, this has got to really, seeing this kind of stuff go on, I mean, doesn't it just shake you to your core? I mean, is this real? Is this really America? Is this really happening here? I don't even want to say what I put on my paper here about that guy. But he wrote the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and he's the man behind the Davis Group, which is kind of a secret society, a society that Kennedy and Eisenhower warned Americans about back in the 50s and 60s, these secret societies. Let's go on to the next one. Feet that race to do evil. Man, I tell you, back then in 2020, in the summer, wow, I could not believe what I was seeing on TV. Let's go to the slide there. Let's go back to that one there. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. And do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. You know, there's a lot of principles that we can get out of Proverbs about life and also about the will of God. Wiersbe, in one of his books, he says this: why do we as Americans or as Christians seek a second opinion when we have the Word of God? Why? I mean, it's clear from Proverbs 6 that we're seeing this kind of stuff. We're seeing wickedness and evil in our society. So let's go to the clips here. Let's put the one up there with the fire. Do you remember that news guy? Oh, it's real peaceful here. The demonstrators are peaceful. And in the background, you know, there's Target and AutoZone burning up. Oh, yeah, there's no violence here. What deceit. This, the one on top with the thugs. There were two men in Chicago. And these guys walked right up to him, sucker punched him, beat him, and they robbed him. And other people just came up, and this was last week. They came up and stole their, these are people whose feet run to do evil. And yet, the media, where are they at in all this? Why are they not exposing this? Why, back in the 60s, when some of us were turning over buses in D.C. and throwing Molotov cocktails. They were there. The media was there to show that. But today it's like, oh, this is peaceful demonstration. But there's fire in the background. A false witness who pours out lies. Let's go to the slide, next slide. You know, a false witness. Intentionality, it's untrue what they say. It's misleading information. And don't we see that in the media? We see it. Let's go to the next slide. Who's that? Anybody know who that is? Zuckerberg. But you know, that dude is a commie. He is, and there's a lot of people that are behind this communist takeover that's going on. But here you got Donald Trump. When he came on the scene, my first impression was him, dump Trump. But you know what changed my mind? And I'm telling you, this is no longer political, what's going on here. It's personal, because it's going to affect my grandkids. It's going to affect my children, what's going on here. This is not political anymore. But yeah, you know, of all individuals, Twitter decides, well, we ain't going to have Trump on our network anymore. We're not going to allow him on social media, and they take him off. If they can do that to the President of the United States, they will do it to you. They will. Character assassination. You know, one of those 10 steps to genocide? Character assassination. They assassinate a person by their character. And what changed my mind about Trump was that the whole media, when he decided to run, people that even came to his towers and asked his opinion and wanted him to support them in their presidential run, I'm talking about Hillary and all of them, they all went against him when he went to run for president. And that told me that this guy is standing for something that these wicked individuals do not want to happen in America. He set that agenda back. The Davos Group set them back for probably several years, and they are really doing everything they can to destroy our culture. And I'm saying this, that genocide film that we saw, that can become a reality very soon. Very soon. But we have many, many in the social media. I mean, you look at the news. All those guys, there's so much that's happened in the last 6 months. And you don't see it reported. You don't see a tidbit of it. The whole Afghans thing, they won't even put that on there, because they know it's destroying their president. But you know what? There's some of them out there that are starting to say, hey, there's something not right here with this dude. He's not all there. You know, if Trump, and if Trump had walked away from the podium while questions being asked and just walked away, there would have been holy hell raised by the media. But you don't see that. Oh, he's just not feeling good. He's thinking about his vacation. Or he doesn't know where he's at. Who knows? But we are heading towards what is taking place in China. And that is a social credit scoring system. And they're going to use this baby right here. They're going to use this against you. All the sites that I go on that are anti-whatever these people are, they know it. Anything that I text to my friends or they text to me, they know it. this thing here, this little black skinny box, is going to snitch on us. They have it all. I just like to throw this thing, but I tell you what, aren't we hooked to it? Really, aren't we hooked to this thing? I mean, wow, I can FaceTime my daughter over there in Salt Lake City. Hey, how you doing, Elizabeth? Oh, fine. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, this was not me when my wife was gone. I was howling to the moon, but I should have been talking to my daughters on FaceTime. You know, we are really in trouble. Let's go to the next one, the seventh one. Remember, six, no seven. A person who sows discord among brothers. Let's go to the next slide. So we have, and this is something that Pastor brought up, Saul Selinsky. You know who did their thesis, her thesis on this guy, Saul Selinsky? Anybody? Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton wrote a thesis about this book and this guy, Saul Selinsky. You know what he says as his dedication of this book is to? Lucifer. This guy, he ain't afraid to say who and what he's for, who he surrendered himself to. And then, you know, this cartoon up here. You know, this whole thing, CRT, and I went through 10 or, no, there's probably 19 different points about the CRT, critical race theory. You think I want my grandkids to go to a school that's teaching and dividing and making a child think that their whiteness is wrongness? Ah, no way. That being an old man like me, bald-headed, white, I mean, really, the old generation, they're the target for right now. And then they'll be after you young guys. I'm not trying to produce fear in you, because what I'm going to share later here, there's hope. I had a book, oh, it probably was in the 80s, and I can't think of who it is, and my library is packed in a 40-foot container. But this guy set forth the premise that, you know, you remember the radical 60s and the riots and all that were going on. He said, the radical left, the Students for a Democratic Society, the SDS, they decided that the only way they were going to change our culture was to get involved in the laws, becoming professors, and let me tell you what, they've seceded. Because when the tenures of those that were professors were given up and those men retired, it was my generation, the boomer generation, that took their place. And you know what they did? They propagated and misled the next generation, and the generation after that, and the generation after that. And now they're starting to retire. And who's filling their shoes? The students that they've taught all this socialist CRT stuff. The boomers have become the doomers, for we will be the ones who bring about the fall of this great nation. Now, I tell you what, I hope that does not happen. I believe in all my heart that God is still able to change our culture. Yeah, Hillary Clinton writes in a thesis on this character, Saul Selinsky. Who does Jesus say is the father of lies? Lucifer. Okay. This is the great part. Let's hear what the wisdom of Proverbs has to say about all this crap that I just shared with you. When a land transgresses, it has many rulers, but with a man of understanding and knowledge, its stability will long continue. You think about the men that this president has around him. You know, like I've said before, Biden is a shell of a man. What is coming down is not coming from that man himself. It's coming from people that are setting up this whole system. I mean, what better way? You got a man that ain't going to resist, that'll just fall along. I mean, during the whole presidential election, the guy never came out of his basement hardly. And when he did, he had little circles set up, and there was hardly anybody there. But if you saw the rallies of the Trump rallies, thousands of people. People were sitting outside, and they had jumbotrons for those people to watch. We're talking 50-some thousand or more. And that dude lost. Come on. I mean, I see which way the wind's blowing, and I don't need to have some weatherman telling me where it's going. Get real. Let's go to the next one. If one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers is an abomination. You know, our country was set up under the Carta Magna. And there were men like Rutherford, Locke, who were great thinkers of the law back in that time. And they realized, and this is a saying, Rex Lex, Lex Rex, Rex Lex. Rex, the king is law. And that's how Britain was. The king, he was law. But Lex Rex, which our country is set up under and our Constitution is based upon, that the Constitution is our king. So whatever these idiots come up with, we go back to our Constitution. When I was a kid, I mean, we had to memorize, and I forgot most of it, but we had to memorize all that stuff. And we were told about Thanksgiving, and we were taught about the Constitution and the concept of it. And we went to Valley Forge as like, you know, field trip, you know, and then we went to, you know, other places that were the crossing of the Delaware, where there's a famous painting. I don't know if it's there anymore, but it's where you see Washington praying amongst the rocks. And they took us over to the rocks where he prayed. Do you know, when they crossed the Delaware and they had victory in Trenton, that victory, if they hadn't had that victory in Trenton, those men were right on the edge of giving up. And that gave them hope. And prior to them getting to that location in the Delaware River, those men were walking, and it's called the Blood of Tears. And they walked from my hometown, Newtown, and I haven't walked that trail, the trail blood, but I'm telling you, it's about 11 or so miles that they took, and it was in the winter, and a lot of them just had cloth around their feet, and some of them were barefoot, but yet they had the audacity to go against the culture, against Britain, and really, they say 3% of those during the Revolutionary War fought. 3% of that population fought. Just think, if just 3% of our population stands up against this wicked evilness, what we can see happen. And we need to stand. Let's go to the next one. When the righteous triumph, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, people hide themselves. Thank God that those men during the Revolutionary War, that they were willing to cross that river. And it was bitter, bitter cold. I've been in some of that temperature there in Pennsylvania. It's just not cold. It's a damp cold. It goes right to your bones. They triumphed, and it brought about great victory for Washington and his troops. How many people today are hiding. Talking about, you know, going into their, I don't even want to go there. You know, I'm going to dig myself a bunker. I mean, people are digging bunkers, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on bunkers. You can buy a bunker up in South Dakota. It's these military domes that they have, and they're, I don't think I want to do that. I want to live free. And if I can't live free, I want to die. I want to die free. Like a roaring lion or a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. Man, you think about today. There's people out there, even people that are rich, they're really depressed. I ain't going to be that way. Okay, let's go to the next one. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. There's a lot of groaning going on amongst Christians. I mean, you know, you think about it. Are we going to end up in concentration camps? I got to share this. Gene and I, in 2015, visited Australia. I've been to Australia 4 times with the corporation I worked for. And I said, Jean, you got to go to Australia. It's a beautiful place. And so she came along, and we had a great time. The people in Australia, and I'm saying this for my Australian brothers. You talk about people that love life. Barbie and beer. Hey, come on over for Barbie and beer. I mean, they just love to celebrate. They just love life. And when I went into those small towns the little hamlets they had, it was like stepping back into America in the 50s and 60s. The towns were vibrant. The small shops were vibrant. Instead of going to, you know, the malls, they had these little shops they would go to. Just recently, I saw what was going on in Australia. Those people were locked up. The prime ministers and the governors of those different provinces, they said, hey, you ain't going to go out and watch the sunset anymore. No more watching the sunset. We're going to keep track of you. We're going to watch where you go. Yeah, they only have an hour, and they have to let them know when they leave and when they come back for like a little exercise out. You talk about that being free? Those people are getting very, very disgusted and mad. They're starting to express it, and they're starting to lie. And then the police taking a 12-year-old child, beating on them because she doesn't wear a mask. Mothers, because they text something on Facebook or whatever, they visit her house, carry her off, and she's pregnant. I'm saying this for my Australian brothers, that we stand with you. But you know what? Years ago, they took all the weapons away from the people. So I would be out on a ranch talking with some of the ranchers there. And when they have a ranch, it could be 100,000 acres of cotton. And they have these canal systems that they developed where they retain the waters. When they have great monsoon rain, they take this rainwater and they channel it into a big dammed area. And so I got to talking to this one rancher. I said, so what's with this whole thing about the guns? He said, well, here in the ranch, we can have one because we do have critters that we have to be careful of. He said, but in order for us to get our rifle, we have the rifle in a safe here. Then we have to go over to this safe here and get our bolt. And then we have to go to this location over here to get our ammunition. I'll tell you what, if you had somebody or you had a critter come into your house, man, You ain't got no time. You're doomed. I said, wow. And so we were over there, and in order to go to different places to eat, there's eateries. They're called country clubs, like golf courses and so on. And you have to sign your name and give a fee. And so I'm in there eating my dinner and stuff, and one of the guys comes up and says, hey, Kenny, I got this guy here. I mean, a bunch of people, they got this question about our second, you know, here in America, our Second Amendment. I can't answer them. So I went over there, and they were befuddled that we Americans would have weapons to shoot game, weapons to protect ourselves, weapons just for sport, to shoot targets. And they really got on my case, like, man, you people are evil. I mean, we're reading left and right, you know, people getting shot up in movie theaters and so on. And I looked at them, I said, you know what? Our forefathers realized that if we didn't have weapons to protect ourselves, it's those that are in governance that are going to take them away or kill us. That's why we have them. Because it's we the people. It's not the elitist. It's not those who have all the, well, you heard Biden. Well, you know, we got F, whatever they got, 16s or 15s, and we got F-30s, and, you know, you people are going to stand up against us? I don't think so. Yeah. I think we will. You saw what happened in Afghanistan. We ran. We gave up. And we had some weaponry over there, phenomenal. $80-some billion dollars worth is what they say. Wow, all right, let's get to the next one. By justice, the king builds up the land, but he who extracts gifts tears it down. I was in India, I gotta quit these stories here, but I was in India, and my interpreter was a socialist commie guy, Santos his name was. We had some good conversation, but we were passing this one building. And he goes, hey, that building over there, they're all communists. I go, oh, really? How do you know? Oh, just the writing on the wall. You know. And so I passed, I kept passing these piles of asphalt. I'm like, you know, Santos, what's with all this asphalt? I mean, you guys got all these big old holes, you know. I'm talking about potholes. Your whole truck could fit in a pothole. And they have these piles of asphalt that they never do anything with, that they could fill maybe some of that pothole. I said, what's with the asphalt alongside? He goes, oh, he says, and it fits, this fits that description. He said, well, you know what? Our politicians, they allocate money to a construction crew, to a road crew, and that road crew takes X amount of money of that that's given to them, and they put it in their pocket, and they give X amount of money back to the politician that sponsored them, and this is all that's left. So, you know, that's going on here in America. That's what we're seeing going on. This whole new Green Deal, that's what it's all about. Payback. Payback for Biden's people. I got to keep going. Okay, let's go to the next one. If a ruler listens to falsehood, all his officials will be wicked. I mean, we see that today. We see it. Let's go to the next one. When the wicked increase, transgression increases, but the righteous will look upon their downfall. Folks, we will see the downfall of this. Whether it's in our time or not, we're going to see it. We will see it. Getting down to my last sheet of paper. All right. But the godly will live to see the tyrant's downfall. Let's woo! Amen. And that's what Revelation is all about. We have a living hope. Let's go to the next slide. Where are we in this final end game? This is where we're at right now, folks. I mean, this was on TV. This was on CNN, all of them. The potential terror threats. If you oppose the vaccines, you're on their list, dude. But if they come to my house, I ain't getting no jab. And they ain't going to come to my door. There'll be either a sign or there'll be a gun pointed at them saying, get off my property. Because I'm not taking something in my body that's foreign. I had a dentist tell me, because I was talking about my brother and some of my friends that died from ODing on heroin. And that dentist said to me, I will never take anything in my body that I don't know what's in it. Well, folks, that jab, you don't know what's in it. And now we're starting to find out some of these places that have gotten 80% of their population, Israel and others, they're finding that that jab, the people that are in the hospitals are the ones that have the jab. So, yeah, you oppose that? This is where we're at. I mean, this is reality. This is not an idealistic thought. Secondly, claims of election fraud. Belief Trump can be reinstated. I don't know if Trump's going to get reinstated, but I do know something. I know that Jesus is going to come back, and he's going to judge these people for this kind of stuff. And then of all things, 9/11 anniversary and religious holidays. I mean, come on. I mean, that makes up, they're satanic holidays. But these are the white papers. This is coming out of the white papers. This is from the president's desk. This is what they've laid out. And it goes on and on. So, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they keep my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, account of Christ. We are Christ, part of his family. We are his brothers and sisters. Why? Because they do not know him who sent me. Who do they know? They know the father of lies. And I'm going to say this right out. If you have not taken and surrendered your life to Christ, I mean surrender all. I remember the old hymn, surrender all to Jesus I owe. I just recently heard a new rendition of that, and I'm just really taken by it. We need to surrender ourselves to him, because we ain't going to do it on our own, but we can do it through him. And he is there with us, and he will be there to the very end, to the very end. But the godly will live to see the tyrant's downfall. I'm going to just end with this. In 2 Thessalonians 1 through 12, I'm just going to summarize it. Your endurance through suffering and through affliction and persecution is evidence. And if you read Thessalonians there, it's evidence of the judgment that shall come upon those that devise this wickedness that I just had up there. By you enduring, and I'm telling you, we ain't going to endure it on our own. We shall endure it, endure those persecutions, whatever may come. We will and we shall endure it through joy. You read the book of Philippians. You read Hebrews. Those people suffered. But they endured it through the joy and the strength of the Lord. And we can too. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare. Do not fear what comes ahead of us. But whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. You're found in him. Not having your own righteousness, which is of yourself. But that through the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And one of my old favorite guys from way long ago, Ben Franklin, he said this: resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Amen. You know, we need to stand up for God. We need to stand up for the Lord. You know, and that really fits well with Acts 5, verse 29. But Peter and the apostles answered the Sanhedrins and all those that were wanting to lock them up. He said, we must obey God rather than men. And folks, we can do it. We can do it. And we got a song coming up that is just, it's about the battle. And let's sing that out for joy and for the fact that we got a God who's there, as Francis Schaeffer would say, and a God who's not silent. He will be there with us. He will be there through it all for us. Let's take a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you. It's not something that I've really ever really wanted to get into on these issues, Lord, but it was on my heart, and just give it to you. And we thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ. We thank you that we're found in him. We thank you, Father, that through him, Father, we will endure this all. And Lord, we look forward, Father, Maranatha, to the great coming of our King, Lord Jesus Christ, where all knees will bow and they will confess the name of Christ. We ask these things in his name, for his glory. Amen.